Now, one of the things, among the many things that I miss, and I'm sure you miss, as a Christian, and as a, may I say, church goer, is the fellowship of God's people. I really miss the fifth Sunday luncheon we used to have every fifth Sunday of the month, when we gather together to enjoy a meal and to talk to each other. And it's just something that we all miss. And I'm sure that there is something in you that just wants to break forth, but there is nothing we can do about it. And so we long for the day, and we anticipate that day when we would be able to have those kind of fellowship once again. But what really is fellowship? What is true fellowship? Well, let me just ask another question. What really is a Christian? So we want to answer the question this morning from John, 1 John chapter 1. What really is true fellowship? Let us have a short prayer before we look into God's word. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for revealing yourself to us. We pray that you'll bless your word to our hearts this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen and amen. So this little epistle that John writes, 1 John, he also wrote 2 John and 3 John. We also believe that he's the same one who wrote the Gospel of John. And what I like about John's writing is that they're often very simple to read. Very simple in the Greek text. In fact, it's so simple that 1 John is often the book in the Bible that students who are learning Greek are often taught from. 1 John. So the language is, excuse me, very simple. And John, when he writes, he often tells us the reason why he writes. So for example, in John chapter 20 and verses 30 and 31, he tells us the reason why he writes his gospel. He tells us the reason why he writes John, the Gospel of John, is that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that believing, excuse me, you may have life in his name. So John tells us specifically why he writes his gospel. And he also tells us the reason why he writes this very short epistle here. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, he says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." Excuse me, my throat is. Let me just read this again. "These things I have written," John says, "to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." So John is writing this epistle here so that those who have already believed in Jesus Christ may know that they have eternal life. So it's one thing to have eternal life, but it's another thing to know that you have eternal life. So that's the reason why John writes this epistle here. If I can put it in different now, let me just say that a Christian is one who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him for salvation. That's one definition of what it means to be a Christian. But let me also say that a Christian is not necessarily what we often hear today, what a Christian is. And because there is an election coming up south of us, I want to say this morning that a Christian is not necessarily one who is a conservative or a liberal or any political connection. There are many who believe that to be a Christian, you have to be of a certain political persuasion, that you have to support a particular party or a person. But let me make it very clear that an evangelical Christian has absolutely nothing to do with anything in politics. Let me repeat that. An evangelical Christian has nothing to do with one's leaning towards any political institution. Absolutely nothing. There are Christians who are liberals, there are Christians who are conservatives, and others. But it has nothing to do, as far as politics is concerned, to be a Christian. And I say this because, unfortunately, Christianity has been driven and it has come to make many people believe that if you're of a certain political persuasion that you are a Christian. Absolutely not. So let's just put this aside. A Christian is one who has come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And every Christian practices his or her faith in different ways. When I say different ways, I mean that we all have different religious persuasion. We have Baptists, Pentecostals, Lutherans, different religious. But none of this, again, none of these religious persuasions have anything to do with being a Christian. Because one can be a Baptist, one can be a Pentecostal, one can be a Presbyterian, Catholic, or any other religious denomination and not be a Christian. So to be a Christian has nothing to do with one's political leanings or one's religious leanings. It has to do with only and only our faith in Jesus Christ. So how do we know that we are Christian? When you're a Christian, how does one know that they're a Christian? How do you have this assurance that you are a Christian? Well, John gives us different tests in his epistle to prove that you are a child of God and that I am a child of God. And one of the tests that he gives us here is the test of true fellowship. The test of true fellowship determines whether one is indeed a Christian or not. So let's first of all look at this word, fellowship. I like to all mention the Greek word koinonia. Some of you might have heard it before. Koinonia, it means simply participation, right? To participate with someone in something. That's what fellowship is. Now, let me say what fellowship is not. Fellowship is not a few people gathering together in a restaurant to have drinks and to eat food. That's not what fellowship is. Fellowship has to do with the participation in the life of God and his people. So it's one thing for one to gather to eat and drink, but if God is not present, and if there are no Christians present, then that's not koinonia. That's not true fellowship. Now, the early church really practiced true fellowship. In Acts chapter 2, we'll just look at these verses very quickly. Acts chapter 2 and verses 42 to 47, we read of the fellowship of the early church. Acts chapter 2, It says, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. That's what the early church did. They gathered together, notice, to the apostles' teaching. So the scriptures are important. Fellowship, the Bible, the Word of God. Secondly, it says they gather together for fellowship. And most likely here it would be eating and drinking. The breaking of bread. Communion. And to pray. So these are some of the elements of fellowshipping, which the early church practiced. And it says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 43 and following, and everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together. Notice, they were Christians. They had believed in Jesus Christ, and they had all things in common. Koinonia, fellowship. To participate in that which is common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all